good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So I've got a request of you. Please raise your hand if the following song lyrics are familiar to you. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. Familiar? Yes. Those are from the late Jim Croce. And if you've ever actually spit into the wind, you might say that Jim Croce's song offers good advice. But what about today's gospel lesson? Does that offer good advice? Here's what it says. When you're invited to a wedding feast, sit in the least honorable place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. Is that good advice or not? Let's take a look at what's going on in Luke 14. Jesus and his followers were making their way from Galilee to Jerusalem. No one but Jesus knew this, but once in Jerusalem, Jesus would be crucified. And it would be orchestrated by the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the elites of ancient Israel. They were the leaders, religiously, politically, and socially. They were pious, meaning they prided themselves on keeping God's law. They were self-righteous, and they absolutely hated Jesus. They hated Jesus because he rejected the accepted order of things. For example, Jesus forgave those who deserved punishment. Jesus expressed mercy and acceptance toward those who the rest of society deemed immoral. He befriended the outcasts and healed the sick. The common people of Israel loved Jesus and believed that he was the long-awaited Messiah who had been foretold by the prophets. But the Pharisees were not buying that idea at all. Jesus was not their idea of the Messiah to come. The Pharisees wanted a great political and military leader as the Messiah, and they wanted Jesus dead. As Jesus and his entourage approached Jerusalem, it's almost impossible to exaggerate how hostile and tense the relationship was between Jesus on one hand and the Pharisees on the other. For example, in Luke 13, chapter before our reading today, in Luke 13, there's an incident where Jesus was speaking on the Sabbath day in the synagogue of a small town when a woman appeared who for 18 years had been bent over double and couldn't straighten herself out. So Jesus healed her. And immediately the Pharisee in charge of the synagogue expressed rage. Why? Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day when no work was allowed. You can read about it in Luke 13. And here at the beginning of Luke 14, Jesus did it again. Jesus healed a man afflicted with a disease called dropsy, whose primary symptom was swelling of the joints. And Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees, again, were aghast. They couldn't believe it. And as they sat there in stunned silence, Jesus turned to them and asked, "Which of you who has a son who's fallen into a well would rescue him on the Sabbath day?" That's a pretty obvious answer. Everybody would. Why would the Pharisees oppose mercy and healing, especially on the Sabbath? It was their false piety. It was their holier-than-thou attitudes. It was their sense of self-righteousness as religious people. You see, they thought of themselves as good Jews, just like we like to think of ourselves as good Christians, which we are, aren't we? Well, actually, it's to us who like to think of ourselves as good Christians, it's to us that Jesus is telling the parable of the wedding feast. And this is the point that Jesus is making. It's our own false piety, our own sense of self-righteousness, our faith in our own goodness that makes us insensitive to the needs of others. Here's an example. I work hard. Why should I give to him? He needs to get his act together, like me. My phony piety, my self-righteousness, my inability to see my own sin makes me insensitive and unforgiving toward others. Nobody likes to hear that, but it's true. Just as bad, my piety, my conviction that I'm a good Christian or a good person can also make me oblivious to my own need for mercy and forgiveness. You know, in the parable that we read, the wedding guests actually believe that they've earned the seat of honor, that they deserve to be recognized for their goodness. But the wedding host tells them to take a seat in the least honorable place. Is that good advice? It sounds like a demotion, an insult. But maybe we're looking at it the wrong way. Instead of a demotion, for us who follow Christ, maybe it's a wonderful invitation. An invitation to quit pretending that you're somebody you're not. An invitation to just be yourself. To relax and be at peace. Thankful that your sin is forgiven. It's an invitation to be completely honest without fear. It's an invitation to throw yourself on the mercy of God who loves you. Now, almost all of you know my former seminary professor, Chad Bird. He was a young, brilliant, rising star on the faculty until his episode of marital infidelity. He lost his job, lost his marriage, lost his family. Now he drives a truck in Texas, writes books, and hosts a podcast. Most of you also know he just lost his son in a tragic accident. I read something from him a few years ago that caught my attention. He described a scene outside a convenience store where he'd parked his semi-truck somewhere near San Antonio. And this is what he wrote. A young man was lying on the sidewalk with a cardboard sign on his chest. Three words were written on it in big red letters. No exclamation point, no underlining, a simple request. The sign said, "Just kill me." His jeans were soiled from weeks of unwashed wear on the streets. His backpack pillowed beneath his head. His eyes were closed. He clutched his sign to his chest, the words facing upward, a petition of despair. Well, after ignoring him while he drank a cup of coffee in the cab of his truck, my old professor responded to a sense of guilt or of pity or something. Anyway, he walked back over to where the young man was lying and tried to engage him in conversation. He didn't have much luck. Finally, he asked the young man if he could pray for him. And for the first time, he got a positive response. Yes. And so, my former professor writes, "I got up, moved beside him, and knelt in the dirt. I prayed for our Father to have mercy upon him, to give him hope, to show him the light of grace in whatever darkness he was passing through. Then I lifted my hand and pronounced over him the blessing that ages ago Yahweh had given his people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace." Here's what you and I have in common with that young man lying on the sidewalk with the despondent message on his chest. Like him, each one of us is completely dependent on the mercy of God. And here's how you and I are different from that young man. Unlike him, we work hard to give the impression that we're not dependent. We're not fearful of the future. We never struggle with sadness or sin. So here's some advice. Quit pretending. In the parable of the wedding party, Jesus invites us to be completely honest and humble before God and others. He invites us to just be who we really are, to no longer pretend to be someone we're not, because God accepts you as you are. You don't have to be afraid of the sin that entangles you, because God forgives you and continues to forgive you. He will not condemn you. He came to save sinners. You're wrapped in the righteous robes of Jesus, which means you don't need to overcome failures and doubts and discouragement that dogs you every day. All of us face sadness to some extent every single day, but God in His mercy will cause all things somehow, some way, eventually to work together for good. God has a place and purpose for you. You're invited to quit striving, to quit trying to impress, to take the seat of least honor, and then relax, knowing that God loves you and will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us. Lord, help us to just see ourselves as we really are. and recognize our complete dependence upon you. And recognizing our dependence on you, Lord, fill us with humility and fill us with compassion for others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.